Today on the IMA Doctor Show, we have Dr. Stephanie Dahl with us of IMA Doctors. Dr. Dahl has recently joined the team of quality providers at IMA Healthcare in Fargo. She's a board-certified reproductive endocrinology and infertility specialist, and I am a fangirl of her. Dr. Stephanie Dahl, welcome to KFGO Radio.
Oh, thank you so much for having me today. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited that you're at IMA. I'm so excited that we get to have you part of our show. And as you know, if someone in our audience is dealing with infertility, you're now a specialist at IMA. They're sort of adding all of these tools in the toolbox at IMA Healthcare. Tell us about your decision to go to IMA Healthcare, I guess, be a part of the IMA doctors.
Yes, well, I knew Dr. Denise Schumacher had joined there, and she's a gynecologist that I've loved and respected for years. I had been at an infertility clinic in Minneapolis, and living in Fargo, it just got to be a little bit too much to commute. And so I reached out to IMA Healthcare, and as you know, they have gynecology, pediatrics, dermatology, family medicine, internal medicine. So I was super excited to work there. And then I had my own health scare, and I really believe it was from the comprehensive, just individualized, personalized care that I got at IMA that helped me during my health scare, and that made a big...
Can we talk about that? Let's go into that a little bit. We're going to start by talking about your own personal health, which isn't usually something we do with the doctors, but there's a reason for it. You have a call to action to people, and this is such an important thing. So talk about, your care at IMA is sort of what leads you to eventually want to be a part of their team. Tell us about your experience at IMA Healthcare.
Yeah, so I was undergoing a kind of a routine evaluation for some other issues, and I was found to have a lung nodule, and I didn't get too concerned about it because those are common. A lot of people have them, and they can be from a variety of things. They can be from old infections. They can be from cancer, and so you need to do a little bit more evaluation if you have one. So I was found there, and I thought, okay, well, it's going to be fine, and then I ended up having a chest CT scan, which showed lots of enlarged lymph nodes in a PET scan, which looks for mainly for cancer, but also for infection or inflammation. And my PET scan was positive. And the lung nodule is quite a bit larger than it should be for a benign condition. So ended up seeing a specialist at the University of Minnesota, and he's a thoracic surgeon. All he does is lung cancer. And he looked at all my imaging, and he said, well, I think this is lung cancer. And I said, it can't be. I've never smoked. I can't have lung cancer. You know, I'm only 51 years old. And he said, have you been exposed to radon? And I said, yes. We had radon in our basement for about 10 years, and I ran on a treadmill 3 to 4 days a week, 3 to 5 miles a time, trained for a marathon in our basement. He said, this is most likely lung cancer, but we're going to start chemotherapy, and you'll go through radiation, and then we'll resect a portion of your lung. And I was just flabbergasted, because of course I knew about radon. Our neighbors had their home tested a few years before we got mitigation. We decided to get our home tested, and I knew that radon was associated with lung cancer, and I thought, you know, maybe when I'm 70 or 80, this is something I might have to think about. Right. It wasn't something I thought I would be thinking of at 51, especially as never have been a smoker. And he said, I see women every week in their 40s or 50s with primary lung cancer who have never smoked from radon exposure, and he said, people just don't know about it. And he's right. You know, as going through this journey, and I ended up, you know, going through some biopsies that were non-diagnostic, so I had a lung resection, which luckily ended up being benign.
What does that mean? I mean, are they taking part of your lung?
Yes. Yeah, so I ended up having a surgery where a portion of my right lung was removed, my right lower lung. So it's a fairly extensive surgery. Took about a month to recover.
And what are the side effects then long-term for you?
Yeah, so I'm about 4 months out now, and I feel really good, but it definitely was a bigger surgery than I had anticipated. And long-term, I hopefully won't have any, you know, major side effects. People can function with less of their lung, assuming they're going into it fairly healthy with good lung capacity. So, but he said I was one of the few people that he got to tell in the recovery room, too, that it looks like it was going to be benign based on the initial testing they had done. So that I was... You know, looking at chemotherapy, radiation, and about a 30% 5-year survival rate, I was thrilled to know that it was benign. Especially my sister-in-law's sister recently died from lung cancer, and she had never smoked. And radon is the most common cause of lung cancer in non-smokers. So it's just something for people, especially in North Dakota, to be aware of, because North Dakota is one of the highest states in the nation.
I mean, it's silent, it's odorless, we can't see it, we can't feel it, we don't, I mean, I feel like the only time that people really test for radon, let's be honest, is when they're selling a home and they, and the buyer requests it or requires it. I mean, when else do we test? Well, okay, I take that back, JJ, you had a really, an experience with this not so many years ago as well.
Well, we're lucky, Tim Noteboom, who's Mr. Fix-It here on KFGO, had been talking about radon in one of his and said, this is common, and this is something that you just don't see and you know about. I'm happen to be the third generation in my home. We've never sold it. So I said, you know, we'll get a test, right? And I couldn't believe it, because my bedroom when I was a young kid was in the basement. We watch television down in the basement now. My wife's treadmill and our rowing machine are in the basement. And so we found out that we were below the suggested level at the time, and we put in a mitigation system. And a common place for this radon gas to get into your house is in sump pits. And we all know that we've added not only our regular sump pit, but then a backup sump pit in a lot of cases. And so we've made ourselves so prone in our homes to radon gas. And I got to tell you right off the bat, to get a mitigation system is not a cumbersome thing, and there are great companies that do it all the time, but it's scary to think about. And like you said, being the leading cause of non-smoking related lung cancer,
yeah, that's scary stuff.
And you know, there are other health risks. Radon has now been associated with Alzheimer's disease. It's
really
associated with male factor infertility, which comes back to my specialty.
Yeah.
And why I also want to spread awareness. A lot of people don't know about that link. And it's also been associated with complications in pregnancy, specifically hypertensive disorders of pregnancy, things like high blood pressure and preeclampsia during pregnancy. So really important for families to get this checked, not only because their kids might be sleeping in the basement, because we're often working out in the basement. You know, before I moved to North Dakota, I started running. Actually, in medical school, I started running and ran when I lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and ran outside most of the winters. And then when we lived in Kentucky, I ran outside. But when we moved back to North Dakota, it just wasn't always possible to run outside. And then by then, my husband and I had small children, and it was easy to just pop down in the basement. And if they needed something, I could hop off the treadmill and run, you know, run up and see what they needed.
Yeah.
So it just was more convenient to exercise in the basement. And that's probably the worst place to exercise if your house has radon.
Okay. Radon testing. What is that like? How often should you do it? Because I'm sure at this point you've immersed yourself in it.
Yes. So I'm currently the North Dakota Medical Association president, and my platform is going to be radon awareness. So yes, I've done quite a bit of research and hopefully going to be speaking at multiple venues in the next 2 years about it. So there are a couple different ways you can test. One, you can buy a radon kit at almost any hardware store or, you know, Home Depot or
Ace. Do they work?
Yeah, I think they are very reliable. They are kind of slow and time consuming. So you have
sure.
to buy a kit, and then you put it in your basement and you leave it open to the air for some time, and then you send it off to get the results. And I think it takes a couple weeks to get the results. And so what we did after I was found to have this high risk of lung cancer, we bought an online radon electronic kit detector, which gives you a daily level plus an average over a week. And the great thing is you can put it all over your house, because the levels can vary in different parts of your basement. But I also gave it to my parents to have them check it for their house for a week. My brother checked his house. Our neighbors down the street, who already had a mitigation system, checked it with our levels and found out that their mitigation system had failed. And so they did some additional work to get that fixed.
And how, you said you spent like $40 on this online, right?
Yeah, I think it was $42.
Yeah.
I just got it on
so
Amazon.
It's, I mean, it's pretty that's
right.
affordable, an
yes.
affordable way to check it yourself and at least get some answers right away.
Yep, and I've worked with Rick Westby at River City Radon, and he said the radon detector that I have, the electronic detector, is very reliable and matches up to his professional grade. I think if you find that you have ever elevated levels, either from an at-home test kit or an electronic monitor, then typically once you reach out to a radon testing or a radon mitigation facility, they can do the formal testing with professional equipment.
We had Lars Knobloch and the Nordic inspection team come out and do ours. Another important thing to note, too, is when you can open windows in the basement during the summer, right?
Correct.
We spend 9 months out of the year with those things sealed shut, so there's no way for that gas to even get out of your house and get fresh air in.
Right.
And so that's, I think, one of the main reasons why it is so – it's such a silent killer
right.
in North
and
Dakota.
And growing up in Bismarck, I didn't have air conditioning in our house growing up, so we always had our windows open. But nowadays, our house in Horace, we have our windows closed in the summer, too, because we're air conditioning. So it's really, year-round. It's so interesting that you said that, too, because after my diagnosis, we took our mitigation or, our radon detector out to our lake home, which has a passive mitigation system, and I can talk more about that. And I was expecting it to be extremely low with the passive mitigation system that our builder had put in when they built the house. But the levels were really high. They were 7 in the basement, 11 to 13 in the basement and 5 to 7 on the main floor. It's an open basement. It doesn't have a door that closes it off. So our levels in our lake home were actually higher than I had anticipated.
And we should know, too, nowadays they're saying if you a level of 2,
right.
you should get that. And
you're saying 4, 5, 11, 13.
And it's not uncommon to see someone in our area who tests 20 or above.
Yep, 20s, 30s.
Mm-hmm. And so, just think about that, right? Just think about that for a second. You could be living in a home, and this isn't meant to scare people, but you are going to be with your family and having a conversation over the weekend and make time to have
yeah.
this conversation
right.
to say, listen,
yeah.
have you tested your basement? Have you tested your home for radon?
Well, even your main floor. When you say something like you get to your main floor and you expect that to be, of course that's going to be okay, and you still get a reading of 5, that's a lot.
Right. So the average reading in West Fargo is 7, and in Grand Forks is 11 in the average.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's really quite high in North Dakota.
And are we doing more research as to, because you said, lung cancer, of course, for you, they're bringing it back to radon. Is it male infertility that you said?
Yeah, there have been links in other countries that have looked at male factor infertility and seen higher levels of male factor infertility with radon.
And pregnancy complications in women. Are there any other things on the horizon that they're testing that they're assuming maybe connected to radon?
So Alzheimer's disease may be another one that's been associated recently with, and I wasn't aware of that until just recently as I've been doing my research.
Wow. Someone wanted to know what the radon number was in your home.
When
you tested it before you tried to mitigate it, I guess?
Yes. So in our Horace home, before we put in mitigation, it was 5 in our basement. And after mitigation, I've had it tested just this, past, year since I've been diagnosed. It was 0.4. So it was well below.
Yeah.
The mitigation system was very effective. And I think that's really important to talk about the different types of mitigation system. And there are typically two different types. One is called a passive mitigation system. And a lot of builders are putting them into the homes these days, which is great. And it's basically just a tube that goes from where your sump pumps are or, in your basement, and it just goes out the ceiling. And there's also so that's the passive. There's also active mitigation systems where you have tubing, but then there's a fan to actually pull the radon out and then force it out of the home.
It acts like a vacuum versus
right.
just having
an
open door.
Is it easy to take that passive? And because you said you had a passive at your lake home, but it really did not help.
Right. So that's just the thing. We didn't have our lake home tested when we bought it because we knew there was a passive system in place. And I think that gives a lot of families a false sense of security, like, oh, we already have a radon mitigation. But if it's a passive system, it may not be as effective. It may lower your levels to a safer level. Or say you're in a house that had radon levels of 20, maybe it takes you down to 9 or 7, but you're still too high to be considered safe.
We also should talk, too, about the fact that if you have a slab on grade home, that does not mean that you do not have You know, some people think, oh, you got to have a basement
right.
for this to affect mm-hmm. me. Yeah. But that's just not the case. We just happen to live in an area where our clay soil packs in this gas, and then we have to get rid of water in some cases, and it just is the way it is for yeah. where we are right now. And we can be a lot smarter, especially as we're starting to get homes that are at, you know, hitting the 100-year mark, right? So something that's built in 1923 is a house to a family of four. Cracks in foundations, I mean, anywhere that this gas can kind of seep in through the ground into your house is where you may be getting this. And this is, don't board up your basement, don't, you know, brick up all the bedrooms everywhere, but you need to just be smarter about it. And I think, like, you're giving some education to people, Dr. Dahl, thank goodness.
Someone says, can she tell us more about the radon detector she purchased? I want to buy one for our house and share with friends. Yeah, we can look up specifics on that when we come back. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get those specifics to you after the top of the hour here to get really specific about the detector that you purchased if people want to try that. And then, of course, if it is high, to reach out to these specialists to mitigate that. Can they easily turn a passive system into an active system? Is that a weird question?
No, that's a great question. So we've been looking into that in our lake house. And I think depending on where the passive system is being vented to, if it's out of your roof, which most of them are, I think, and I'm not as much of an expert on how to install the systems, but I believe you can put a fan in the attic to help pull it out.
Yeah.
Or even an outdoor fan.
If the gentleman you mentioned, the radon specialist in this area can do so much.
Right.
And who can tell you, you know, another thing is people think, well, I'll just, you know, put some PVC piping in my basement and punch a hole through my foundation and I'm good to go. It's more than that. But it also isn't as costly, I think, as most people would assume. There is a cost associated, but we're not talking about $20,000.
I'm sure there's a cost associated with, like, potential of lung cancer
right.
as well, or male factor infertility, or pregnancy. I mean, you know, all of this is scary stuff. Like, not to be an alarmist, but, you know, is things. When we talk about male factor infertility, is that something you as an infertility specialist deal with?
I see a lot of patients specifically for male factor infertility.
You do?
Yes, and often I see them in conjunction with a urologist, but yes, because oftentimes we can suggest lifestyle factors, suggest yeah. dietary modifications, in some instances start medication. So I just had a couple who came in and he had extremely low sperm counts, and after I checked his hormone levels and did a little bit more investigation, realized that he was a candidate for medication to help help him resume sperm production. So,
is it
yes.
first to do more investigation with the woman and then go to the man, or is it kind of, are you doing them both sort of at the same time?
That's a great question. So we typically do the evaluation of both partners just
oh,
because
okay. yeah.
male factor infertility is yeah. very common. And sometimes, you know, I might have a patient who comes in with irregular menstrual cycles. And so
yeah.
we think, okay, we just need to regulate your menstrual okay. cycles and you'll get pregnant. But while we're doing that, we don't want to leave off the male component because about half the time there's a male factor involved.
It is the IMA Doctor Show. Dr. Stephanie Dahl with us, ready to take your questions as well. You can text us now at 35270 or get those studio phones ringing at 237-5948. Today we have Dr. Stephanie Dahl with us from IMA Doctors, or IMA Healthcare, I should say, on the IMA Doctors Show. Dr. Dahl has recently joined the team of quality providers at IMA Healthcare in Fargo. She is a board-certified reproductive endocrinology and fertility specialist. And we were just talking on the break. Let's bring it back to some of those things that you're seeing on a daily basis. Outside of infertility, things like PCOS or irregular menstrual cycles, stuff like that. Are there a lot of good treatments for PCOS now? And maybe we should back up even more and talk about what is PCOS.
Yes, absolutely. So PCOS, or polycystic ovarian syndrome, is something that women can experience. The most common symptoms are irregular menstrual cycles. Women often experience acne or unwanted facial hair. Not that any facial hair is really wanted, but and then there's a specific ultrasound appearance of the ovaries. But there are other symptoms as well. So women can experience depression. They can struggle with weight, have difficulty losing weight, feel like they keep gaining weight even though they're maintaining a healthy diet and exercise. Sleep apnea is very common with PCOS. And there's increased risk of endometrial, which is uterine, uterine cancer, and infertility. But the good news is PCOS and irregular menstrual cycles, even though it's associated with infertility, it's one of the most treatable types of infertility, and we have really high success rates. Oftentimes for PCOS, we just simply need to help, you know, that patient ovulate and can use oral medications to do that. So it's a very, very easily treated type of infertility.
How common is it?
So most studies are saying around 15% of women, and it's tends to have a familial history component as well. So if someone's mom or sister has had PCOS, they're more likely to develop it.
How common is infertility?
Infertility, again, is in that about 15% range. It's definitely increasing over the years, and there's just much more awareness, too. And about half of infertility is related to male factor, or there's a male factor involved.
Do we know why? I mean, radon, right?
Right.
Going back to that.
Yep.
But do we know other factors?
Sometimes it's environmental things like radon, like herbicides, pesticides, which are common in North Dakota, can lead to fertility problems. Alcohol, tobacco is a big one. Gosh, if I could just tell everyone who's trying to get pregnant, you know, if you can quit smoking, quit using tobacco, that's huge. That really affects sperm production.
Is vaping included in that?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. All forms of tobacco use. You know, if we can just get our young people to never start smoking or vaping or using tobacco products, because it does have such detrimental effects on fertility for both men and women. So we definitely want women to quit smoking too. If they're struggling with infertility or for all their health reasons, we want people to quit smoking.
I've got a question that there probably isn't a direct answer to, but let's talk about a patient who might walk into your door one day, right? How long after someone has started to try to get pregnant should they consider seeing an infertility specialist?
That's a great question. So we typically see for women under the age of 35 a year. If they haven't conceived in it within a year, they should begin an evaluation and see an infertility specialist. For women between the ages of 35 and 40, that drops down to 6 months. And for women over the age of 40, 3 months. But if there are any other reasons that someone is maybe experiencing infertility, like if she has PCOS and irregular menstrual cycles, say she's only getting a menstrual cycle every 3 or 4 months, there's no reason to wait a year. Come on in, because that person's going to need some help and we know it right away. Or someone who has a history of, you know, large uterine fibroids, or if they have a history of something called hyperprolactinemia, that's just the medical term for high prolactin level, that can affect menstrual cycle. So thyroid disease, a lot of other things can affect the menstrual cycle. So if we know they have something like that, in addition to not being able to conceive, they should just come in right away.
What about the mental health component that goes along with it? Because I know that this can be something that, you know, not only are you struggling physically, but you're also struggling emotionally.
Absolutely. And I think that's why it's important to come in and be seen, because people can feel like they have some control back, because it is difficult, especially when you're seeing friends and family members who are getting pregnant and you're struggling and it seems like you're the only one who's struggling. Sometimes it helps to reach out to some of the support groups, like Resolve is the national support group for infertility patients, and they have so much information online. But there's also support groups in North Dakota too. Everlasting Hope is a support group just in North Dakota for to give support and resources for women who are struggling. And sometimes, like, just getting a plan in place, people feel like, okay, what if we just start doing some testing and find out if there is a problem and what options are available? I think that can also relieve some anxiety associated with this problem.
Maybe this is a silly question, but when I think of IMA Healthcare, of course, it's obvious that they're not a full hospital setting. And so they go and see you. They know that IVF is maybe inevitable. How can they work with you doing something in a hospital setting that might not be available right at IMA?
Yeah, absolutely. So we can do quite a bit right at IMA. All of the initial testing and diagnoses we can do at IMA, as well as starting treatment options such as ovulation induction with oral medications, something called IUI, intrauterine insemination. We can do all of those things. And oftentimes that's all patients need. I would say 70% of my patients, maybe 75% of my patients, don't even need to end up going to IVF.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So for patients who do end up needing to go to IVF, we like to keep care, you know, local as possible. So IMA works with a program in Minneapolis, so they can do all of their monitoring locally. When patients are going through IVF, they have to do quite a few visits with ultrasounds and blood draws. So all that can be done locally, and they just go down to Minneapolis for the egg retrieval and then the embryo transfer. So we work with RMIA in Minneapolis.
That's amazing. I mean, that's really incredible that you guys are able to do so much right there at IMA. And sometimes it's a, you know, I know that there are a lot of people that this can be the scariest thing, the most anxiety-inducing thing. I mean, when I think back to even my pregnancies that were not as complicated but had some complications to them, it's a high anxiety time for the person who's going in to fertility or their family, their loved ones. And so being able to be close and to be in a small setting like IMA, that's pretty incredible because you're able to give these patients a more personal experience at IMA, I think.
I think that's exactly true. Like, you know, for my patients, being able to have the time to call them all back, go through their results, spend time with them each day, and we're not limited in how many patients we need to see. You know, we can see them at our own pace and spend time with them. So I think that has been one of the very refreshing and fun parts, is actually getting to spend more time with patients.
We're taking your questions as well at 35270. If you have any questions for Dr. Dahl, you can send them in. You can also call us at 237-5948. We'll continue this conversation on the IMA Doctor Show when we come back. Dr. Stephanie Dahl with us here. She is one of the newest providers at IMA Healthcare in Fargo. She's a board-certified reproductive endocrinology and infertility specialist here on KFGO.
And Amy, before we go, real quick. We've got one of those first aid kits to give away, one of those IMA healthcare first aid kits. If you would like to get one of these awesome first aid kits, it's great to keep in your car. You could bring it to the ice house, wherever you want to have it. All you have to do is text in the word DAHL, D-A-H-L, because we're talking to Dr. Dahl, to 35270, and we'll pick a winner from that group.
So your family, is Dahl Hall on MSUM's campus your family?
No.
Oh, okay. That's what I think of all the time.
We wouldn't have been able to tell you. You know.
But I bet a lot of people ask you that, don't they? Dahl Hall? No, not a lot of dragons in your life, huh?
No, we, NDSU.
Oh, okay.
Went to NDSU, and we're huge Bison fans. That's where I met my husband, and we loved tailgate, and so.
Yeah.
And then I went to UND for med school.
It's okay. Dragons are Bison fans, too.
That's true.
We don't really, we don't have really a dog in the fight. You know, we'll wear Bison clothing, we'll wear Fighting Hawks clothing.
You know, it's really nice of UND and NDSU to both have green in it, though, so if you just get a good green sweatshirt. You're good for either.
Right. Game. Good green sweater. You're good to go. This is the IMA Doctor Show here on KFGO. The IMA Doctor Show on the air here on KFGO. With us is Dr. Stephanie Dahl. She has recently joined the team of quality providers at IMA Healthcare in Fargo. She's a board-certified reproductive endocrinology and infertility specialist and is joining us here on KFGO. Will you read that text we just got in, like the really nice text message that we just got in?
This person in our text club at 35270 says, Dr. Dahl did the in vitro to have our only daughter. Glad she made it through her health scare.
Oh, I love that. Also, let's go back, because we did begin the show talking about your own health scare and sort of the education that you've done thereafter about the effects of radon and the impact that it has on our health. And people were wondering, what is the radon test that you got so that you could electronically monitor your radon in your home and your family's homes? And if you want to search Amazon, it's called Air Things, A-I-R-T-H-I-N-G-S, Air Things. And the price has jumped dramatically, which maybe is Dr. Dahl's fault. We're not sure.
Because I've told so many people to buy it.
So supply and demand, they're like, oh, a lot of people are buying this. But you know, it's on a Black Friday deal right now. And at $100 or $108 as it is now, it's a pretty good deal to make sure that your family is safe.
It's like having a smoke detector in your house. It's just smart planning.
Yep, and I think the nice thing about this one is, say you wanted to check your house and different areas in your house, and you can do that for a week or a couple weeks, but then you can give it to your family members. You could give it to a sibling. You could give it to your grandparents. You could give it to your mom and dad to check their levels, so neighbors could check levels with it. And then each time you go to a new house, you can reset it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep, and it gives you a one-day average as well as a seven-day average.
So if you're going to go, so everyone kick in a little bit of money, Venmo request your family, everyone throw in $20 and you can get this and everybody can share it.
And I tell you what, a $100 detection kit, yeah. I mean, I think my first CT scan of my chest was, you know, in the thousands of dollars. And
right.
I think the surgery was, you know, in the 70,000 range. So, I mean, a small investment in your health, your family's health, make sure your family is safe in your home, because it really is a very dangerous substance. It's highly carcinogenic.
Someone says, doctor, my clinic always did tele-Zoom appointments, but no longer will do them. You must come in. Why is that? And is this a new trend?
Is that the clinic at IMA?
No, I think they're talking about my clinic. I doubt, or is that IMA's policy?
No, actually, I see patients via telehealth. So, yep, I can see patients throughout the state, Bismarck, Grand Forks, Williston, or even in Fargo can be scheduled through telehealth visits. Yep, I know it's so much more convenient.
Yeah.
And it's something that came really into play during COVID, became very popular. But definitely teachers, nurses, anyone who doesn't have to take an entire day off to come in for one visit, it's really nice. So I can't speak for the entire clinic or which clinic that person is asking about, but I do see patients via telehealth.
Yeah, and I mean, it is, I guess I would just suggest to maybe shop around to other providers, which is hard to do sometimes.
Yep, if someone wants to be seen by telehealth, they can just call our main IMA number and just request to be seen via telehealth rather than...
This is going to be such a weird question, but do you see people out of state?
So if I can only see people in the states where I have a medical license. So Minnesota, North Dakota, and Montana.
Okay. But then, that's a pretty wide range.
I did have a license in South Dakota, but I wasn't seeing a lot of patients there. And they're kind of expensive, so I let that one go. But Minnesota, North Dakota, Montana.
Dr. Dahl, thank you so much. This was so fun getting to meet you on the radio and tell everybody and educate them about sort of your own passions, but also what you're doing at IMA. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me today. It was an absolute pleasure.
IMA Healthcare is located on 45th Street and 32nd Avenue South across from Mexican Village. You can call them at 280-2033, imahealthcare.com. Embracing the personal side of medicine. We'll see them back on December 18th at 12:30 on It Takes Two.